We're on page 20. There was a page that I gave you before Yontif on the Inyan of Pachad.
Yes.
The Inyan of Pachad, which we'll get back to. I want to move forward. We'll come back. Keep the page inside the cipher because we'll have to refer to that later on. But I want to move forward on page 20. Hador, the name of the maimer, of course, is Hador. And throughout we've been talking about whether or not our door, our generation, bears any resemblance to the Hador that Rav Kook was speaking to back at the beginning of the 20th century. And the question of where we are now, in what's called postmodern times, where we are now, are we struggling with the same issues, the pnimius and pnimius of that generation at the beginning of the 20th century? It was coming off the period of the Haskalah, the beginning of Reform, the beginning of Aliyah to Yisrael, and so on. Our generation already has a Kabbalah. Already has a Kabbalah regarding what Rav Kook was crying about back then. It was just the beginning of what's going on now. Now it's really taken for granted by many, many people that the Masorah, by many people, unfortunately, by most Jews in the world, the Jewish tradition is something which is very sweet. And, you can make a Fiddler on the Roof it's nice to have a painting of some religious-looking people in your house or something, but it's not seichel. It doesn't make sense. It's irrational. It's unclear. Our generation is no longer, for the most part, is no longer struggling with the sugyas in machshava, but the sugyas in machshava that the Jews in Europe were at the time of the Haskalah, our generation has simply taken it as a given that Yiddishkeit is no longer relevant, that Judaism is no longer relevant, and there's absolutely no interest on the part of most non-religious Jews to consider it. Because of that, we spoke about this a few weeks ago. Because of that, even though we learned that Rav Kook says that the nekuda pnimis of the problem is the seichel, is machshava, right? That's really machshava. We have to reach the minds of the young people of the generation. We find more and more, as we discussed, that we have to try to reach the emotions of the young people, of everybody. And we have to understand that when Rav Kook spoke about reaching the minds and trying to be able to present Yiddishkeit in a way that would make sense to the generation, he wasn't talking about some cold intellectual approach. He was talking about Teres Eretz Yisrael that he spent a few years learning Eretz HaTorah. He was talking about Teres Eretz Yisrael, Pnimis HaTorah, the Or of Torah and the Irish of Mashiach. That's what he was talking about. He's not talking about Stam philosophy. And all of that is still very, very much still very much what's needed now. That's all that we've been learning about and talking about. Shav Kook continues on page 20, in the middle of the page, Nirachem al Eila ha'umlolam. We have to rachmanis, instead of being angry and pushing away. Nirachem al Eila ha'umlolam. We have to rachmanis on these pathetic people. On al Eila ha'umlolam. B'neinu v'acheinu, on our sons, our brothers. Hatoivim biyam zoeif. Shaltsaros ruchanias. Who are drowning in a raging ocean of spiritual sorrows. Shein koshes yoisim kol choli amadve. It's more difficult than any physical illness. Noisha lehem dvarm tovim. Let's extend to them dvarm tovim. Good things. Dvarm nechumim. Words of nechama. Milayim seichel, filled with seichel. Mefikim sheket v'omets. We're going to talk more about that. Sheket v'omets. Sheket, of course, a certain kind of tranquility. Sheket, quiet, v'omets, and strength. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Ayde osa koch asma. With the same koach, the same energy that has taken the generation, that's brought the generation into this stormy and ruined matzav that the generation is in now, we have to reach out with words that are comforting, filled with seichel, filled with sheket and omets, with tremendous koach, but with sheket and omets. Kimahu hakoach haporah leskol hashinuyim hanimrotzim bekirbo. What is the koach? Now we have to use the same koach that pulled them away from Yiddishkeit. So Cook says, what is the koach that brought about all of these changes inside of the generation? Page 21, Shebiglolom anachnu kol kach soivlam, because of which we're suffering so much. Imlo hasifrus. Again, this might seem like it's no longer particularly relevant. Rav Kook says that one of the main causes of the collapse of Yiddishkeit in the generation is secular literature. Sifras, meaning literature is talking about not only, to say secular doesn't mean necessarily non-Jewish. It means the Yiddish and Hebrew literature. Sifras, that had a tremendous, tremendous influence over the generation of his time. But now we could translate that into media and technology, communicating with the generation. In those days, of course, it was mostly through literature. Most young people now can't read. So it's not that... they can only read it if it's on a screen and if it's only lit up for a few seconds. Other than that, not really. As far as literature is concerned, besides Monarch Notes, there's not much going on for most of the Chevra, and it would seem to be something which is antiquated and outdated. You don't find nowadays young people walking around carrying volumes of European philosophy and literature. In those days, that was the media that was used to reach the chevra. We'll talk more about that. The kevin shas sifrus po'elus alav kol kach harbe. Since the sifrus has such a tremendous effect upon the generation, uven shirak b'koach hamachshavi shebekirba he po'elus. What is it about sifrus? What is it about literature? What is it about sifrus that has such tremendous koach? He says, "Shirak b'koach hamachshavi." Remember that for the most part, the girls were not in school at all, or they were in some sort of secular school, and the boys were going to cheder, And as we were talking, we were learning earlier in the Maimer, they didn't see any connection to all of these halachas that they were learning, or the Gemaras that they were learning, the Midrashim that they were learning. At the same time, there was a very, very active literary world within the shtetl, and there were brilliant, beautiful works that were being published, history, fiction, essays by fantastic writers, again, in Yiddish, in Hebrew, German, and so on. So there was a koch of machshava. Remember that they were not learning in the shtetl. They did not have shiurim and Rav Kook. They didn't have shiurim and Kuzri or Maharal. They didn't have shiurim and Sfasemas or in Tanya. So they did not see the pnimius, the beauty, the machshava of Torah. But they were being exposed to some beautiful stuff outside of Torah. So, what is it Rav Kook says about sifrus, about literature that has such power? He says, "Shirak mekoch hamachshavi shebekirbos, the koch hamachshavi shebekirbos, the koch of machshava that's there, ki poelus." That's what has such a tremendous influence, such a tremendous effect. He says it's true. In literature, there's a lot of other stuff. There's all kinds of exciting things and all kinds of fascinating things that cause people to become excited and thrilled, especially as fiction and so on. However, Rav Kook says that's not really what's having a great influence over the generation. It's the basis machshavi. It's the underlying basis in machshava, a new way of thinking, a broad-minded, open way of thinking that the young people have never been exposed to in the Gemara. In Shulchan Aruch, they weren't exposed to that way of thinking. And because of that, Rav Kook says, if not for the basis machshavi, if not for that underlying yisod of the machshava that's inside of literature, the machshava, that component, that aspect of what's out there, of what's being published, if not for the basis machshavi, it wouldn't, if it was just like fiction and drama and so on, if it was just something that was silly, it would not be able to be kind of so many Jewish hearts. It wouldn't be able to accomplish what it's accomplished, to destroy what it's destroyed. It wouldn't be able to. Sofkosof and Am Chochem Venoven, and the generation, the young people, since they did not see the premiums of Torah, what they were learning in the Gemara didn't seem to have any relevance to their lives. So they saw Yiddishkeit as a bunch of superstitions and schoolers, and they didn't see Yiddishkeit. They didn't see the machshava of Yiddishkeit, but they were seeing the machshava of European literature, of European philosophy. They were studying. They were very, very much attracted to the machshav. Does that mean Rav Kook is saying, of course, there are other things in it? He's alluding when he says there are mechamim, things that warm people up. Those are the things that are inappropriate too. And nowadays, you take some little chassid that was raised in Kedusha somewhere, and he's 14 years old, and his friend shows him something on his iPhone, a girl, so it doesn't throw him completely off. Of course, it does. And that's also part of the literature that was out there, that the young people, the people of the generation, were very, very isolated and very insulated. They lived in a very insulated world. and they had not been exposed to romantic novels or anything like that, and then suddenly there's tons of stuff in Yiddish. Yeah.
I'm just unclear about something that Rebbe is saying. Is Rav Kook saying that that also have koach, meaning that it's like Asher Hushon, that whatever is affecting the generation at the time, you should just use in Kedusha whatever it is at the time? Or is it Rav Kook saying that Dafka has to be something intellectual? As in other words, as opposed to saying, instead of listening to Rolling Stones, listen to Eitan Katz. Instead of looking at a woman on an iPhone, look at the Bava of a Rebbe. So I don't know if he's saying that it's intellectual or it's Dafka, whatever is at the time that is affecting.
He's saying is that since it's through Sifrut, since it's through Sifrus, that the generation has been pulled away, so we have to use Sifrus to reach out to the generation, and we have to create a new form of Jewish literature that is also profound, that is deep, but is also holy. And we have to expose the generation, as Rav Kook is, and all that we learned in our Sefer, all this from, we have to expose the generation to the beauty, the depth, and the intellectual foundation of Torah itself, of the Sefer HaKadoshim. So there are two things. We have to create a new curriculum in the yeshiva itself, which that's what we're learning more about in our Sefer, to bring them back to the Maral and to Kuzri and so on, and to show them that Yiddishkeit is, that there's a basis of, the deepest basis of machshava in Yiddishkeit itself. And in addition to that, we have to create fiction and nonfiction and so on, and books about art and music, and that are written with Yod Shamayim, they're written with the Havas HaTorah, with the Emunah and so on. And he's going to talk about both of these throughout the countries, throughout the Maimer. But the bosses, he says, has to be a bosses machshavi. He says, ultimately, even though there are some Jews that they like comic books, you know, but at the end of the day, that's not what's going to make the difference. So then again, the question, we'll talk more about it, and that's on the page that I gave you, we'll read a little bit more about that. So the question is, in our generation, is there still this, is there that...
That's what he was saying, that maybe just like, you know, a nice nigunim and, you know, a nice shalosh shuvos is enough, and unless it's rooted in something intellectual, it's not going to last.
He does believe in that. He does say that, and we're going to read about them. So now the Indian is media and technology and so on. It's not Sifrut. It's not. So it seems from all that he's been teaching that he would still insist that to ultimately win over the generation, it has to be infused with depth. With the Jews need that. The Jews are seeking that. Again, there are many.
Is that what they're attracted to? And is that what they're attracted to from the outside world, the intellectual side, today?
No, a lot of it now has to do with other stuff, with the emotions and so on. So there needs to be an adjustment according to the, much more so now than ever before. So we need to make adjustments. We're going to talk much about that. And Rav Kook left it open, like really what Shimon was saying is that what Rav Kook is telling us that we have to study that particular time. You can't just ignore the nature of that time that we're living in. So he was addressing that particular generation and the time that he lived in it, and he saw that as the most basic need that would have to be adjusted for now. But still, the Yisod HaDavar is, he says, to reach, that there has to be a basis of Machshavi, that's for sure. That there has to be a basis of Machshavi.
The fundamental difference then would be that in that generation, the media that they used would be the same type of media, and the basis of Machshavi would be the same. The basis of Machshava in the secular, the basis of Machshava in Torah. And now it would be different. I mean, the media that we would use would be the same. Well, I don't know. I mean, how do you... But in the secular, it's not Basis Machshavah. In the Torah, it must be Basis Machshavah.
Right.
It's not as parallel as it was.
It's not as parallel as it was in Europe, that's for sure. Right. It's not. Because in Europe, the Chlal, even the Goyim, there was a tremendous excitement about the world b'chlal was much more serious, and they were thinking about philosophy and literature and so on. And now that's not that's not what culture is for the most part. That's not what culture. That's not what the young people are interested in, or even the baby boomers at this point are particularly interested in. We're going to read about that a little bit more on the page in front of us that we have. He says, he said, literature and all of this would not have had such an influence over our generation if not for the fact that there's a basis machshavi. He said, of course, there are many other things that are going on. There are many, many other things that are going on, but there's a basis machshavi. Otherwise, we would not have been able to be kind of so many hearts. Lahoris, and to destroy, lavalei, and to swallow, but often systematic, in such a systematic way that it did to the generation. Kshahador hushafel. Oh, so you know what? So let's stop here. Let's stop here, and let's take a look at the page. Now, let me just tell you what this is. There's a fellow in Eretz Yisrael who wrote by the name of London, who wrote a commentary on the Maimer Hador. That helps to fill in with some historical background and some other pieces from Rav Kook. So it is something which is very, very helpful. So on page 118, you see on the side 118, which is Nerachim al Eilah Umlom, that's the piece that we just did. It says on the bottom, the right hand side, the number is 118. Nerachim al Eilah Umlolim. So he brings the piece from the Maimar Hador, and then right underneath, in the middle of the page, everybody have it? Yeah. Nerachim al Eilah Umlolim. And so on. So he explains, Adko Huskru Shifos Hador Lemusar Chevrosi. Remember, before you interview, we were learning how Rav Kook was praising the generation, that the young people have tremendous shifas when it comes to Musar. When it comes to Musa Chevrati, when it comes to society and improving society and democracy and so on and so forth, modern ideals of equality and morality, and Rav Kook saw in that the tremendous, tremendous mile of the generation. That's what we were learning before Yom Tov. The generation was definitely a generation that was very, very much seeking machshava. It's interesting coming back to what Binyam was saying and Shemin. What we're wondering about how to connect Rav Kook's door to our door. It's an interesting thing I had this conversation with my daughter. Shifi's in Israel, she's in seminary, and she has to write a paper, and she chose the topic of Dveikus. That's the topic she chose, was Dveikus. So she had in mind that maybe her father would be able to help her. So the other girls were all, they didn't want to take that. There weren't so many topics, and they were more like, you know, Bikacholim, things like that. And then there was, nobody took Dveikus, you know, she was all excited about Dveikus. She heard this word, and she heard it, you know, at the table and things like that. And she's very brachashem, she's very, very bright, and she was all excited about Dveikus. Of course, I'm very annoyed about the Marma Karmas that they suggest and so on, and I have to redo the whole thing. And okay, but we had this entire week, and since Yom Tov, so working on this paper every day for a while, and there's a Maharal that we did together. There's a Maharal, she has it there in the seminary's library, and I was learning the Maharal with her. It's a It's a very, very beautiful mamish, a deep maral that's named Yaakov in Lomais and Vayichi, which is on the which is on the Indian of Dveikus. And my shifi, like, went out of her kelim. She was so excited about this maral. She said, "Daddy, it's unbelievable. I never." And we were learning it and other things. She said she looked up the Ksava Kabbalah and she looked this. And I said to my wife afterwards, we were talking. And first of all, we felt good because you feel you're getting your money's worth. Like she's excited, she's enjoying the classes and everything, and she's enjoying the girls. It's nice, but we both also at the same time we were. It doesn't sound so nice, and it doesn't mean to be not in any way critical of the school that she went to, which is a lovely school. We were sort of like mourning her high school education. We were mourning the fact that she wasn't. You know, we tried in the house. You tried to impart, but there's so much, but there's such an opportunity. I'll tell you in a second why I'm explaining this. Why I'm saying this. There's such an opportunity. You get bright kids, ninth grade. All right, I'm not saying when they're little, it's hard certain topics. I believe that really even in sixth grade, seventh grade, you could. But certainly ninth grade, tenth grade. Yeah, of course, there's a little bit of an immaturity. But I still believe with everything, what we're talking about, we know that this generation is like so lost in Irishkeit with the, with the technology. But the MS, I still believe with all of my heart that the average, certainly the average to above average Jewish boy and girl can be unbelievably turned on by the Basis HaMachshav of Yiddishkeit. And for the most part, they're not getting it. They're just not getting it. And al eila ani bachir. It's not too late, and they'll begin later on because she's hearing some interesting classes and exciting classes, and there's a teacher that's doing to them some sfas emes and maharal we have them for those years in high school and there's so much that we could accomplish and I believe that the kids would love it. I really do believe that they would love it. I just don't think that the teachers know it, and it's not being taught, and it's the same old business, Smachloikis, Radak and Metzudas on what that word means. Not that I'm saying it's not important, but that's how you begin, and from there you expand, just like the way in her paper. We began by doing the Pesukim and Chumash, Uvav Sidbak, Ladov Kabav, Atam Advekim, and we worked from there to the Mizrahi and the Ramban. But then you keep on going. You keep on going. And of course, most of the things that I want her to do on this subject, the school will not allow, including Rav Kook. They're not going to allow. But I told her, but she wants to do it anyway. She said, "I don't care. I want to do that stuff, and I'll do what they ask in the school. We'll do that." But she wants to do more. She's excited about. You see a maharal. You see a maharal. What it means, Yaakov and Lomais. You see the maharal. It opens up your mind and your heart. Not everybody is there. I'm sorry to use this word, but I'll say it in Persian. It's better in Persian. There are Jewish kalipuks. Binyama, how do you translate that?
Empty heads.
Empty heads. There are Jewish kalipuks. Don't ask me why I know that, but Binyama knows why I know these words. There are such things as Jews that have that nabacha. I guess in America they would call it ditz or something. I don't know. Airheads. There is such a thing as, but it's not the usual. It's not the common thing. And I still believe that even a boy that has seen hundreds of hours chalila of filth and of craziness and of MTV and all those things. I don't know if that's still, maybe that's over, I don't know. So I still think that if you show him the Maharal, if you show him the Gurariyeh in Vayichi, he'll go out of his cable. And I see that all the time. I see that when the guys learn, and they learn, and the girls also. I see that. It's the power, the power of the depth of Torah when it meets the depths of Yiddish and Neshama. You can't lose. And the same thing that was in Rav Kook's generation. Now the kids go through. They go to school. They and whenever they hear something about Yiddishkeit, they associate it with something which is not interesting, which is boring, which has no connection to my life, and then they listen to some CD or something, and they say, "Wow, that's deep, that's deep." Not to some drug addict, suicidal, bohemian. Wow, that's deep. That's deep. That's deep. So whose fault is it? It's our fault. It's our fault. The same way in Rav Kook's time. So, okay, in Rav Kook's time, even in the non-Jewish world, the literature, the philosophy, the music, and the art, the culture was such. So, there was that thrust that was there. And it swept along the chevra, our chevra. It's true. And nowadays it's just not. It's not, doesn't seem, that's not what's interesting, that's not what they're interested in. But as we'll see here in this, what he explains is that the shorish of Jewish fascination with technology is not the same thing as non-Jewish fascination with technology either. It's also rooted in something different in Seichel. It's not the same thing. Even though you wouldn't recognize any difference in some silly ninth grader, you know, on the computer. It all looks the same. But it's not the same. A Jew is different. You have to believe in it. There's still a basis of machshava that's there. There's something there. And even in the technology and how it works, and there's something else that's there. So he explains, until now we've been talking about Shifos Ador, Lemusa Chevrasi, Lemachshava, how the generation is seeking more ethics and a more moral society and so on. Machshava, Erech is to have, that life should have meaning, that there should be more meaning to life. The young people are looking for meaning, for value, and that life should be meaningful. Unidaina. And because of that, Rav Kook was talking about this uprising, this spiritual, emotional uprising against the weakness of life that's found, that they saw in religious society. The weakness, the boredom, the monotony, the weakness, what seemed to them to be the emptiness, that is totally outdated, so on. That they saw the chulshas achayim shel chevra hadasis. Case now, that's what Rav Kook was talking about until now. Case Malav Rav Kook tviya nosefus shel bnei hador. Now Rav Kook is speaking about an additional and the most basic tviya demand of the generation. Hey mis avim lo rak ledvarim shehem meleim seichel. Not only do they want to see, to be exposed to things that are mileim seichel, that are filled with seichel, that are mileim seichel, el af l'rayonos mefikim, that bring forth sheket and omets. Sheket and omets. That's an interesting thing he threw in there, of course. He's very, very careful. Sheket and omets. Quiet, sheket, and omets, strength and courage. What is the connection, sheket and omets? What is he talking about? So he explains, sheket mashmo menuchas hanefesh v'haruach. This is, he brings from the Malbim, the Malbim's definition of sheket. Mashmo menuchas hanefesh v'haruach min hazaaf hapnimi. Menuchas hanefesh v'haruach min hazaaf. Zaaf means from the storminess, the zaf, the turbulence, hapnimi, menuchas nefesh, to have menuchas nefesh from the inner turbulence. Klomar, in other words, shalva pnimis, internal tranquility and peace. This is something which is a huge part of what our generation is seeking. A huge, huge part. All of postmodernism is about shalva pnimis. Shalva pnimis. So you have thousands and thousands of Israelis. Look, there, this past week there were Israelis out in Nepal that were, they were killed. There were still some that are missing, or some that died. There was an avalanche there. Where are they going to these places of Israel to go? You know that they have. I read someplace in a newspaper, in one of the Jewish newspapers, that when it comes to the Seder, they have like in the Himalayas, the Chabadskas have over there like 3,000 Israelis. You know about that? Thousands of Jews are going to these places, not just to go skiing or whatever. They go there and they're looking for meaning. They go to ashrams and places, and it's been going on for years. You drive up to the Catskills. There's an ashram there, right? You know, in South Fallsburg. There's an ashram in South Fallsburg, and there was once a Jewish person that came that was by us in the bungalow colony. We were talking to him that he had spent some time there in the ashram. He said to me. Over 80% of the people in the ashram are Jews. Now, you know, if you know where that ashram is, it's around the corner from the yeshiva of South Fallsburg. You know what I'm talking about? There's a bridge that crosses over on 52. By the golf course. 80%, he's telling me, are Jews over there. And they're going and meditating in the eastern... And you have yeshiva in South Fallsburg. You go a little bit further, you have yeshiva in Woodridge, surrounded by, all right, during the winter it's pretty quiet over there, but it's quiet in the ashram during the winter as well. But the summer, thousands and thousands of from Eden. They wouldn't think for a second that these Jews that are walking around with beards and payas have anything to offer them by way of meaning, by way of pnimius. And if they would have a conversation with most of the chavurah that are walking around like that, you know, whatever it is, 12:30 with the towels big, they wouldn't have much success in a conversation like that. They wouldn't have, unfortunately. With some maybe, but with many not. They get a warm person that would invite them in, and maybe you could be kind of them with a kugel and the Rav Kook doesn't talk about that. You could be kind of them with a kugel with a cholent, that's another thing that you could do. Now, this Shabbos is the big Shabbos, Shabbos project, Shabbos. And what the kinyonim that are going to? My wife went to the challah baking thing last night, and she said it was so beautiful. I don't know if there were any from the ladies there that were not from. Seems like she saw all of her friends, all the ladies. but we know that really that's a lot of what it's about in the from neighbors is to get the from people to think about Shabbos and talk about Shabbos. So she thought maybe they were like 10 or 15, not from ladies. I don't know. But. There's a tremendous koach that experiencing Yiddishkeit that itself has, tremendous koach that it has. Just but to be able to speak, to be able to reach, to be able to draw a Jew in. So they're not looking by us. It's a very sad thing. They're going to ashrams, and these Israelis, they live in Eretz Yisrael. They live in Eretz Yisrael, and they go to the Himalayas to look for the meaning of life. He has four shtiblach on his block. This Israeli, he has four shtiblach on his block. He's got two mikvahs, right? It wouldn't cross his mind. A lot of it is because, of course, we're our own worst enemies with the publicity and how we present ourselves and so on. But he wouldn't even think of it. So he goes, Nabuch, there were, I think, I don't know, there was somebody killed, I think, in his...
A lot of people.
Yeah. I don't know how many Israelis there were. There were three Jews that were killed going over there, were going, driving around over there. Such a place. It's all of the Zohar over there. It's the... And... They're looking for something. But they're also looking for Sheket and Omis. What is this? Menuchah Shalva Pnimis. Eastern religion appeals very, very strongly to that need that a human being has for shalva pnimis. That's mostly what it's about. Shalva pnimis. You take some Israeli and tell him take a little bit of a walk through Meir Sharm. He when he looks around, he doesn't see shalva. Doesn't look to him like there's much shalva pnimis going on, because you can't really tell. Could be there is, but that's not being among Jews. There's this feeling of not having shalva pnimis. That would be the last place that you think to look for shalva pnimis to be among the Orthodox Jews.
A few weeks ago, Rabbi Warren Goldstein from South Africa, the star of the Shabbos Prime, mm-hmm. needed someone to...
He was here a couple
yeah,
weeks ago.
He was here, so I...
You walked him?
Walked him to Barakway to Aaron Wilson, and so I had a chance to talk
Seems
to him.
Seems like a very fine guy.
Very fine guy. So I asked him, like, how he came on to this mitzvah of Shabbos as opposed to all the mitzvahs in the Torah, and he told me that he was talking to some brilliant psychologist from Israel. I forgot his name.
NRE,
exactly. And he told him that to come up with something that that Torah could offer Jews that they can't get anyplace else outside. And he said that after a lot of back and forth, they came up with the idea that because a Yid in particular is looking for inner tranquility, that Shabbos could offer that in a way that no other mitzvah can. And the other thing that he said, the reason why he's doing this whole Shabbos, is that a Jew also has an inner desire to feel connected, that we feel disconnected in the world, especially now with all the anti-Semitism, and we want to connect to something. He was saying, really, it was in the food of the inner tranquility why he chose the mitzvah of Shabbos.
It makes perfect sense. It's 100% true, and there's nothing like Shabbos that can bring a person to that place. And the world, especially Eden, are in terrible pain from lacking that, from missing that in their lives. Mm. There was even some kind of a, don't you remember like 2-3 years ago, there was some Jewish guy in America that's not religious. I don't know whatever happened to him. He was starting a day off thing from from technology.
Shul did,
yeah? To be completely cut off from the...
Turn on or something.
Right, and he made it on Saturday. The guy made it on Saturday.
Immediate Sabbath.
Yeah.
What?
All the tech guys in Silicon Valley, they switch off all their media for immediate Sabbath.
And it's on Shabbos?
And it's sundown Friday night.
Really?
They're going. They're not even using it.
Really?
It's down Shabbos.
And there are a lot of people that do that.
Tons of them, yeah.
My wife told me that she read someplace that the top people in the technology thing that their kids only have like an hour, they're only allowed like an hour a day on average to look at this stuff. Yeah, but their kids are not, they're very strong with their kids not to sit on it all day. They understand what it does. So there's no question that Shabbos. Even when it's without the kedusha of Shabbos, Allah has come of a kama. If it's with Kriach Seif, if it's kedusha Shabbos, Allah has come of a kama. If it's kedusha Shabbos. Mitchell, I'll talk about that tomorrow. I'm giving a shiur. They asked me to give a shiur on Shabbos. I don't think there are going to be any non-religious people that are coming. Regular kama, but Shabbos across the world.
The Israeli schools in Himalayas, because the feeling is
sheep. Because it's sheep.
No.
It's
a great physical beauty will produce inner tranquility.
That's part of it. That's not the whole thing.
No, they go out of their way to go to the most beautiful spot, which
Israelis go everywhere. Anywhere you go, you'll meet. They're looking for the Rabbi Shalom, but the
top of the mountain, though.
Yeah, because right. Eretz Yisrael for them, for those who have grown up, especially the ones who have grown up without Yiddishkeit. Eretz Yisrael is the antithesis of a place of shalvas hanefesh. Eretz Yisrael is a place where a 3-year-old baby is run over in the train station, and the Israelis they don't have the Bismedrish, they don't have Shabbos in the house, these non-religious, these brothers, they're chalishing for the Baruch Shalom. They don't have they don't know what to do with themselves. They're running, they're looking all over the world, everywhere you ever go. My wife and I went 2 or 3 times to teach in Colorado. And a few years ago, we went a few times. So, you know, you were there. I was never in the Himalayas. I don't plan on going there. But it's the Colorado for me. That's far enough. You know, there's mamish beautiful there. Beautiful, beautiful. And everywhere we were going, I hear Hebrew. I hear, and you know what? They all want to come talk to me. They see a guy. They see a frum guy. They all come over to start the schmooze. They want me to know that they're Jews. And they're there. And I told you when I was in Prague a few years ago, because we went to Poland, and Shabbos we went to Prague. So we davened Friday night. We davened by the Maral, you know, and coming back, and there was a next to the hotel. There was like this nice, like there these benches over there, and it was a very beautiful, beautiful night. And we're coming back, and they're like must have been 50, 60 people sitting there talking on these benches near the hotel. And I don't know who they are. I'm walking. And this lady calls out, Shabbat Shalom, Rabbi, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. They all start to scream, Shabbat Shalom. These are the people who hate us, you understand? Shabbat Shalom, Rabbi, Shabbat Shalom. And I looked at my, and I said, Yehudim. And they go, Betach, Yehudim, Betach, Yehudim, Yehudim, Betach, Yehudim, Jews. And we were talking there for a while, and then afterwards went with the two of the couples to the lobby, and we were schmoozing. Betach Yehudim. They're looking. They're going to Prague to look for me. I don't mean Weinberg. I mean they're going to Prague to look for to look for something in their lives that they and here they live. They live in Eretz HaKodesh. They live in Eretz Yisrael. Because Eretz Yisrael for them is the opposite of tranquility. It's the opposite of, unfortunately, that has mostly to do with our enemies. Mm-hmm. But it has to do with ourselves as well. And the way that we are with each other, the way that we handle with each other, and we deal with each other, and the commotion in our communities, and the business of our lives. So Shabbos. This, I thought that this Shabbos, this project this week, it's not in Eretz Yisrael, you know that?
It is?
Yes.
Because I wasn't sure, because I read something. It sounded like it's not in Eretz Yisrael. It is in Eretz Yisrael. So they're doing it with non-religious Jews all over in Eretz Yisrael. So they are doing it in Eretz Yisrael. Oh, because I knew.
They had a holiday with a ton of men from the train station by the German colony. It must have been 2,500 women all doing challah, and each one was coming up saying why they're there and who they're
It's just a big shame that men have to get involved in all of this. Because you know they're gonna mess it up. And wait till you see what interesting ways they find to mess it up. Oh, but they'll mess it up. There's already somebody, because there was a place that called me. They were trying to have the girls in the girls' school should write letters to the non-religious saying that we love you and so excited to have you with us to bake to challahs and so on. But and the male person that they spoke to felt that it's not quote Tyridic. It's not Tyridic for the girls to write letters
to women.
It wasn't Tyridic. He said, "We have to." We didn't have a chance. They didn't have a chance to ask Das Tyra, and they don't know that's the right. He wasn't sure that's the right thing to write letters as a school project. He said, "If you do it individually, I'm not going to say anything. I won't say anything. He knows you're free to write it individually, but as a school, he said, as a school, I don't know what the Das Tyra is. It might not be Tyridic. I know it's not Tyridic. I don't know, send a note to somebody like." We're so excited to have you here with us. It might not be Tyridic. Leave it up to the guys. Leave it up to the guys.
A relationship be open to news. I mean, you could imagine where that would go. No.
Nope. So Sheket and Ometz. That's what's the connection? Shalva Pnimis Kasha Koiches Hanefesh Zorma Besocha. Kimachlol echad, yeshna tchushas harmonia nederes mesachim ulachotzim. He says, when the koiches and nefesh, when the koiches and nefesh are flowing in a healthy way, in a clear and deep and healthy way, there's a feeling of harmony. Is the yeshna tchushas harmonia that is nederes misachim alachatzim, which means a feeling of harmony without all of the tension and without all of the pressure. Lumazos hechan she'ein bitui molei leklal koiches achaim. On the other hand, where a person is living a life where there's not full expression of the deeper koiches of who he is, of the koiches hanefesh, then obviously noldim ma'atzorim nafshiim, then there are all kinds of emotional blockages hamivim lachoser sheket ulatzvanus that bring to a lack of sheket and atzbanut, anxiety, nervousness, anxiety. Yesterday I met with six people to talk about different things. Five out of the six were talking to me about anxiety, about anxiousness, about anxiety. Five out of the six that they're overwhelmed by anxiety. This one's taking medicine, the other one's not taking medicine yet. This one's trying to do it without medicine to overcome it. There's no sheket. The trademark of the tzaddik is sheket v'omets. Now we're going to see more about what that means, sheket v'omets. When you met Rav Moshe Feinstein, there could have been 50 people around him tumbling around Rav Moshe, but Rav Moshe was sheket v'omets. If you met Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he was surrounded by 1,000 people everywhere he moved. Sheket v'omets. Sheket v'omets. Silence and strength. Sheket v'omets. A certain tranquility. The tranquility. You know, can you imagine what it would be like to be in Reb Chaim Kanievsky's shoes for one day? You know, what goes on over there? If you've ever been there, what goes on over there? If it would be any of us, after 15 minutes, we stand up and say, "Get out of here! Leave me alone!" And he's always like, right? Sheket for omens. It's an amazing thing. It's in a different place. When you have a deep, deep inner life, which with a kirkus and nefesh, a life that's filled with ruchnius deep inside, so whatever the storm is outside, you're able to hold on to that quiet. But when you're missing that, then the tiniest little thing on the outside just knocks you out. It throws you completely off. Any little thing throws you off. If something doesn't go your way, it throws you off completely. Because the metach, the tension, the lachatz, the pressure, destroys a person who doesn't have that bitui mole lechlal koiches achayim. Bitui mole lechlal koiches achayim. Kashechosh, the last line, kashechosh ha'adam ki en yochel lios mashehu. When a person feels that he's simply not able to be mashehu, who he really is. And he's forced to conduct his life according to scripts outside of himself that are written, other people's scripts that are holding back his own koiches of who he really is. That causes a total lack of calmness and metach nafshi, tremendous emotional tension, tremendous tension. Kan nimsa af es hazika hayishira ben hasheket v'haometz. Here's where we see the direct connection. Why Rav Kook says sheket v'haometz. The generation is not only looking for the basis of machshavti to understand, but through that understanding to find themselves, ourselves. And when you find yourself, and you're able to come to a place of sheket ve'omets. Sheket ve'omets. Habitochon ha'atzmi magia bad be'bad. When a person has bitochon atzmi, self-confidence, when he feels secure in who he is, that he's in touch with who he is, habitochon atzmi magia, that comes together in tchushas mitzui hakochas v'autonomia ha'ishiutiyus, that means that it all goes together, a feeling of self-confidence, a feeling of security comes to it when a person is able to feel that he's, that in tchushas mitzui hakarchas, that he's coming to the essence of who he is, his karchas, using his own karchas of who he is, autonomy, and his own personal autonomy to come to that place within himself. Then he's able to have to, then regardless of what he does for a living or where he has to be and so on, there's bitachon atzmi, that this generation is, so if Cook is lacking terrible, it's unbelievable. The Yom Avru, he says, in the old days, Nahag ha-hamon ha-rochav ba-achnor klapi musa dati chitzoni. In the old days, the average, the typical Jews, they were very, very, they humbled themselves to the Musa Dati Chitzoni, to the outer external life of living according to Halacha. Ashlohi niyachlo lematzos es kishvanosa v'kochos nafsho b'miluam. But that way of Jewish life, all the rituals and the Halachas and so on, did not necessarily have anything to do with squeezing out the kishroinus and the kochos nefesh. The kishvanos nakaches nefesh. The mikrim is suyamim. Af notzer model chayim dati nukshin. Not only that, in many situations, religious life looked to be something which was inflexible. Just asher dochak mitocho kochas chayim. Just the opposite. Not only did it not bring out, not only did it not seek to find the kaches nefesh inside the person, but just the opposite. Not to look there at all. It was all about bikur tuyus sichlis. In other words, all they saw was intellectual, critiquing things intellectually. Gavur, push out all the karchas achaim. Kagon, for instance, bikur tuyus sichlis, that you're not allowed to engage in intellectual inquiry. Just accept things for the way they are. You're not allowed to think about things. Gavur. It did not encourage, this way of life did not encourage Jews to be strong, to be courageous, to be themselves and so on. Regis yezdahus v'chadoyma, or feelings of identity, self-identity and so on. Hachever shahis ha-shui b'tnoim elu pitcha mishnah tarana shenidma ki himashakefes choser regia. Therefore, they grew up in a society of religious Jews that it seemed to them that it seemed that the whole way of life was lacking rigia, calm. It was all atzvanus, about anxiety. Choseh zrim means not natural, unnatural, not flowing, not natural. Ihanachas is bata betchushas lachas. This lack of nachas was expressed itself in a feeling of lachas, of pressure, back pod hilchotis, just a tremendous pressure. Did you do this properly? Did you do that properly? Is every string on your tzitzis intact? You know, not that it's not important, but it was all about this tremendous pressure just on the do's and don'ts, which is what the kids feel nowadays as well. The rigshei charada, with feelings of fear, ba'avodas hamusa v'chadome, when it came to just the whole avodah was an avodah that was based on fear. Alright, well, Mitzvah will continue. I'm not going to be a nice itself coming next. I'll be here for Shabbos and coming back Arab Shabbos, but a little bit later, and I won't be able to be on time. So we'll continue the following Arab Shabbos.